Okay, so boom. You finally realize the power of emails and owning your own data. So you create a newsletter and get a landing page fired up. You send out your first email and bloop, it's in the promotions folder. Unless you're an e-commerce company, I'm sorry to tell you, but the promotion folder is not going to help you. This is why you should get ConvertKit. ConvertKit specializes in keeping your email in the primary folder so you can increase your open rates and communicate with your audience. They also have beautifully designed landing pages and squeeze pages for you to capture more emails. I personally love the fact that they have good support. Support for me is everything. If I have a problem, I need to know I can get someone on the line or have a video that answers all of my questions. Hustlers don't give up. They say, yo, let me figure this out. I figured it out with ConvertKit. And that's not the show.
We're back in the building, baby.
You already know.
We're back in the... In the driver's seat. I was saying we're pilots, bro. You know, in the cockpit, and you're just getting ready to hit the control buttons and everything. Ready for takeoff. That's how Saturday mornings are like for me, bro.
Another sad, another pod.
Another sad, another pod, another brew on the table, ready to be sipped.
Let's go. Belief in oneself and knowing who you are. I mean, that's the foundation for everything great. Who's that by, you know?
Man, you know, if I keep guessing, bro, I'm just going to like extend this.
Take one guess.
Say it again just one more time just so I can marinate it.
Belief in oneself and knowing who you are. I mean, that's the foundation of everything great.
Jay-Z?
Correct. Ah! Bang-a. All right. Let's get into it. Yo. Welcome to the Hustle Over Everything podcast. This is the podcast where you receive stories, tips, and strategies from people who have done it. This will help you take your business to the next level and grow as a person. Today on the podcast, we have Akos. Akos is the CEO of Essence Lux Couture. She's been featured on Shopify's platform, and she has an amazing business. But yo, Owen, how you doing, bro?
Yo, it's a Saturday morning, you know, waking up in the new crib. You know, bro, as I always say, you know me, when we begin the podcast, I always just give my blessings to God. Mm-hmm. And just doing this and waking up, and I just set up this new table. Actually, last night, I assembled this new desk, my new workstation, and I was tossing out my old table, which I got about in 2014. When I first left Ryerson, it was my first table, moved into Liberty Village. I bought this at Walmart. It was like $90. It was like made out of plywood. So you know what plywood is? It's the chips trash. It's so trash, bro. It's like the chips that comes out of the wood when you're chopping it, and then they mash it together with glue and they polish it, makes plywood. But the thing about it is that once it gets water, it starts to decay. And by decaying, it starts bending over with force over time. So the table was just like, the table in itself was looking like a parabola. You know, a parabola, remember, just like it's kind of bending down and everything. And it just started chipping away. But you know what, man? That table really put me through a lot, bruh. Yeah. You know, I concocted a bunch of great ideas on that table. Sneaker Deck, Recruits, Living Crate, Hustle Over Everything. I studied for exams. I cried on that table. I pondered on that table. So when I was taking it to the refuse room in the building and I was turning away, I just stopped there for 5 minutes and I looked at that table and I'm like, rah, like, I legit, this table made me. It got me here. So it's downstairs. It's gone. It's a new beginning, brand new table, mahogany wood, dark wood, straight, powerful. You just feel in charge when you sit on this table. And the ergonomics of my chair is just perfect for this. So, you know, when the chair's right, the table's right, it's just like a combination of productivity. So that's what's going on, bro. And now we're here, first morning ever on the pod with the table. And yeah, man, how about you?
I'm chilling. I'm happy to be feeling healthy. You know, we didn't talk about it, but last week I was sick as a dog, man.
Yeah, you were in just in the mud, bro. What happened, man? I thought you had corona, but you did a corona test. You know, tell everybody, you know, how was that whole, what happened? How was the corona test? And just explain to us, bro. Educate us.
All right, real quick. I'll try to keep it short and sweet. Last Thursday, I started feeling chills. I started getting very cold, and I was wearing a t-shirt, a sweater, and a jacket. And I was like in my lobby, and I'm like, whoa, this is not right. And I took an Advil at the time because I was having some pain in my ears. And that's why I haven't been wearing headphones on the pod for a while. So I go upstairs and I take my temperature, and it's 38.2 after I've taken Advil.
So talk about the significance of a temperature, 38.2. You know, what is the normal? This is high. And, you know, what's the variance from normalcy?
The normal temperature is 37.5, right? The normal temperature is 37.5, right? Got you. So I had to consult with my girl that's a nurse real quick. And she let me know that the average is around 36 mm-hmm. to 37. And what I had was 38.2, right? Which is up there. And Advil masks symptoms. Mm-hmm. So if I didn't take Advil, probably would have been at like 39. I would have been in sick.
And been out of this world, man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I had a really bad fever. I got upstairs and just went straight to bed. I was like, listen, I am trying to fight this thing ASAP. Canceled all my meetings and just went straight to bed. So the next day, I was to my girl. She came home and started nursing me, you know, giving me boiled water and honey, lemon, mm-hmm. garlic, mm-hmm. ginger, you know, turmeric. And just started, you know, getting into the fight zone. And the next day, I still had the fever. It went down a bit to like 37.9. I stopped taking Advil, so I can actually like feel what it was. So I was like, all right, great. It's actually 37.9. So it's still there, but it's going down a little bit. Went to get a corona test. And it wasn't looking good, man.
They were digging for gold, didn't it?
Oh my goodness, bro. In my nose?
They were just in there searching for
it was insane. Treasure. Exactly. They stuck it in there. Apparently, she wasn't that bad, you know, because it was my first test. But my girl, she came with me to do her test as well, because, of course, we both got to get tested now. Mm-hmm. And hers, she said that hers was actually easier than the last time she did it. But for me, it was still deep. She went all up in my thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
She's trying to get your dreams, bro. She's trying to see how's this guy a good Facebook marketer. Let me just chip away a brain cell and put that in me. She's trying to get that knowledge.
Exactly. So that's how that went. And it wasn't that fun at all. The rest of the time was just spent at home, sleeping, resting, mm-hmm. you know, trying to do everything I could to fight it. So that's been going on with me. And honestly, like, a few things that stuck out to me is that, like, thank God they switched to booking online and booking through the phone. Because before, mm-hmm. there used to be long-ass lines, and that feels like the worst way to treat it, because that's the best way to spread it. Mm-hmm. You know, waiting in a long line with somebody that possibly has corona. Mm-hmm. You know, so that means if there's 10 people, there's probably one person that has corona. Mm-hmm. You know? And to have it in line where they could, you know, possibly transmit it.
Didn't think about that first time around. We're just lining up, you know, blocks. Yeah. Your whole day is pretty much waiting to get a corona test, bro. Like, you know, at my old spot, like the Dundas and in Bathurst, so they're opposite Tim Hortons. There's like a COVID testing center, and this whole line went down all the way close to, I won't say college, but like Euclid. Is it Euclid, I believe?
How many blocks is that?
Maybe two blocks, bro. Mm-hmm. But I used to go take groceries, but then I'd be walking on that line, right? And I'm not wearing a mask because I'm outside, and I'm just seeing all these people wearing masks. I'm like, shit. Like, I just felt like the energy on that side of the sidewalk was just mad, bro. I was like, let me go to the other side just because I don't feel safe. Not because I was scared about corona, but I just didn't like that fear vibration that was coming from people standing in there. They're just kind of antsy, and you can feel that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, these corona lines are something else.
Most definitely, yeah, man. So for me, I'm just happy to be healthy. I'm ready to get back to it. You know, sending these emails out, and get back flourishing, man. So yeah, I'm
excited. Get back to winning, bro. Yeah, man.
Exactly. So yeah, with that said, let's get into the business tip of the week. For this business tip of the week, I actually want to keep it very short and simple. There's two tips. If you're not following us on Instagram, by the way, make sure you follow us at 24/7 Hustler. And one thing I posted that actually got a really good reception was the new feature from Instagram.
Yeah, that was big.
So essentially now we can add captions to IGTV stories, or not stories, IGTVs. It's very simple. Once you go to upload an IGTV, all you got to do is hit advanced settings and turn on auto captions, and captions will be generated for a video. So that's a really good feature. The only thing is that you can't really customize the captions. That's the only thing that's a bit of a downside. But other than that, that's a really easy feature because a lot of people spend a lot of time making them captions. So it's a time saver.
And question, bro. Can you also do videos, or is it just IGTVs?
Just
IGTVs, eh? Yeah, which is actually advantageous to us because we post like at least over a minute long videos.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's going to be good for our podcast. I'm happy about that. The next tip comes from Neo Daviso. What he posted recently, I thought it was a great hack that a lot of people use. He uses the infomercial strategy. You know, when it comes to infomercial, what time does it usually run?
Infomercials, like people at work, you know, lunch, afternoon. I remember just staying home in the summer when I was a kid, and I used to watch Passions. You know, I used to be into soaps. I don't know if you ever watched soaps, but the soaps days and
never.
Yeah, Passions, Days of Our Lives, bro. Yo, that shit slapped, you know? And then infomercials will pop in around that time. So that's what I remember. Am I right? Is that around the time they pop up, or is it like late at night?
Late at night.
Yeah.
The game is late at night, you know? And there's a reason why. One, because it costs a lot less. There's a lot less traffic. And then people are watching. I'm just mindlessly watching, you know? And he uses the strategy on Instagram. So what he does is every night from 12 to 6 a.m., he has at least one post go out an hour. And that's call to action, to buy his ebook, to buy his courses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, because he realizes that people that are up, and they're just mindlessly scrolling through Instagram, and there's a lot less traffic on Instagram. Whereas during the day at like 6 p.m., everybody's posting, everybody's live, everybody's doing something. You know, so there's a lot more cars on the highway. You know, so it's a strategy that he uses, and he makes sometimes up to $1,000 a day off the strategy. So I just want to let our audience know that that's a strategy you could possibly use for Instagram, or something that you guys should be aware of, you know, when it comes to Instagram marketing and how you're putting stuff out. That's not just Instagram too. It's any platform. You know, there's going to be less traffic during certain times. And if your audience is up, that might be a good time to leverage how you're posting on social media. So that's one thing to take in mind. And that wraps up my business tip of the week.
Amazing, bro. Yeah, that post about the IG captions, game changer. Bro, how many hours did we spend making captions for those videos? Bro, a stupendous amount. I remember I take one clip, let's say it's like maybe 1 minute and 40 seconds, and you use an auto generator, but the tedious part about it is just going to edit the words and making it sound like, okay, she accentuated this word like this, and actually reflecting that on the caption. You know what I mean? So it actually sounds like you're reading, or if you're in the bus and the TTC and you're listening to the podcast and you watch a video and it plays and it's so loud, or you don't want to stop your music or whatever the podcast you're listening to, you can read the caption. So you want to make it seem realistic, man. So the auto generator takes like 5 minutes, but to edit the captions, to go back over and over again and again and again and again, you know, like 40 minute to 1 hour for one video. So imagine if you're going to scale your content, it's extremely difficult. So I'm happy Facebook's doing this for Instagram, bro.
Most definitely. And yeah, for me, it would take even longer. I actually tried to hack it, but I realized that other people are doing, like Andrew Schultz. What he would do is he'd put everything in all caps. So that way you wouldn't have to go in between lowercase and middle case, and a higher case, uppercase, with every word that you're talking about. Or, and then you could take out commas as well. So it's literally just captions with all capitals. So you're still reading it, but it's, the punctuation doesn't need to be there, and the case doesn't need to be there as well. So it kind of takes a lot of the work out in that sense. Even still, though, even with all that, it's still a strenuous, you know, thing to do. So I'm happy that that's there. So I'm going to be using that. The only thing I don't like is that you can't customize it. That's the only thing. Yeah. You can customize it on Facebook, but you can't really customize it on Instagram. So it's like,
but know? Do you think that it's going to evolve, though? It's going to get more. Yeah. I think right now we're just like, you know, the beta version of it. They're just putting it out, but then it's going to get smarter. It's going to get better. I just don't see them like, hey, take it and just leave it. Yeah. You got captions. Exactly. It's just, it's not in Facebook's DNA to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. So those are two tips. One for specifically for Instagram, and two for social media overall. Think about the times you're posting. And think about what your audience mindset is when they're going to receive the post. So let's hop into the Hustle Nation.
All Mr. Right, Hustle Muscle. All right, guys. You know what time it is, bro. Mr. Hustle Muscle on the mic, ready to give you the Hustle Nation tip of the week. So the Hustle Nation tip of the week is this. If you really look at your brain, it works in a state of flow. It works when you get an idea, you connect it with certain ideas, you look at something, you think about another idea, and it just connects in different pieces. So one thing that we do a lot as entrepreneurs and as business people is we take a lot of notes where you might write it in one notebook, you might put it in your computer, your MacBook notebook, or your phone. But you want to connect the pieces together, and you want to have like your brain reflected in your technology where you can connect certain ideas with different things to another thing. If you read a book, you can connect it to one thing and you connect it to another. So when you take your notes, sometimes you never even look at them. Or when you read a book, you always end up forgetting what you read. When you're working on something or you're making a draft of something, it's very scattered. It's very rigid. Where it stays in place. It's not malleable. You can't move things together and make one mega mind of your brain on your technology pieces. So one thing I discovered was this platform called Notion. So what Notion does, it does exactly what I said. It's like your human brain in technology. So when you get a Notion, it's a note-taking app. So when you're taking notes, you can connect your notes to other ideas. So you can create different categories where, let's say if it's for reading business books. So let's say you read a finance book or a biography book or whatever. Let's stick to finance. So let's say Ray Dalio wrote a book, Principles or whatever. So you can put that in the finance category, even though it's more of like a life book, but you know, he's a big finance guy. And you take notes from that specific book. So let's say you read another book, and you put the notes in the finance section. So now you can take those notes and then you can connect them to Ray Dalio's principles as well. So if you see something that connects there, you can actually highlight it and then it's going to go to the other page. So everything is always in a state of flow. Everything is always in a state of motion. And then you can also connect your Kindle as well to it. So when you actually highlight your notes in your Kindle, you can also use something called Readwise. So Readwise is actually going to take all the notes from your highlighted pages in your Kindle, and it's going to upload it to Readwise, and you can take those notes and put it into Notion. So when you read your books, you actually have a reference bank to actually go see what you've read, and you actually can review the most important things that matter to you. So over time, you keep doing this with books, with notes and ideas or business ideas you have, you can connect them all into one, and you can always go back and review it. And you always refresh your mind with what you wrote and at what time you wrote it. And everything is all in one place. One thing I love to do is I love journaling a lot. I journal every single day. My ideas, my thoughts, my feelings, my dreams, ambitions, my goals. And one habit I started getting into 2 years ago is reviewing my goals every single day. But that can get very hard if you don't have your book with you, or you know, you don't want to use your phone. So Notion, again, I got to thank my guy, Marty, and Logan, and Rodney for putting me onto this, like they did for TikTok. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I can't wait to even explore what it can do even in other things, but Notion is going to be a game changer for your life. If you have a bunch of notebooks, if you have a lot of tabs in your notepad on your MacBook, just of notes, but you never really look at them, try out Notion. It's a huge, huge plus to your life. It's your brain reflected in a digital form because everything is always connected. It's always like piecing together. You look at an apartment, you look at a color, you feel a memory, a relationship you had with someone. You smell a cologne, you can remember whose cologne it was. Notion is the same way. You can look at a text and you can have different connecting parts to it, to other texts, which is in Notion. So you're always in a state of flow and it's always just moving in one direction. You're actually opening new doors as you're going through the thing. It's not, you go in one room, you look at it, you go in another one, but you have 100 rooms. You don't have time for that. You just need to connect the pieces like a huge cobweb. So Notion is a great tool. Try it out. You can use it for personal, you can use it for your business, or you can just use it for anything that you want to use it for. So that is a Hustle Nation tip of the week. This is going to make your hustle way more efficient. It's going to harmonize your thoughts, your energy into one place. And yeah, try out Notion, guys. Remember, your hustle is what you can do to maximize and systemize everything into a system so you can scale efficiently. And Notion is one of those tools that can help you do that. And that is the Hustle Nation tip of the week from Mr. Hustle Muscle.
Boom. And let's hop into the housekeeping items and speak to a coach.
Let's go.
Hey guys, before we hop into the podcast, we have a few housekeeping announcements. For free to support the podcast, if you're on Apple, make sure you rate and write a review about our podcast. This makes a huge difference. On Instagram, make sure to take a screenshot and tag us in Instagram stories. It makes a huge difference. It helps us share the podcast out and expand the community. On Twitter, we're at 24/7 Hustlers. And on Facebook, we're Hustle Over Everything. Guys, we were busting our ass, especially Owen, working on their weekly newsletter. It's called the 24/7 Hustle. It covers news in business, music, and culture, all through the lens of entrepreneurship. And for our paid options, guys, we have some great merch on the store. Check it out at hustleovereverything.co. And lastly, our Proud to Pay program is linked in the description down below. Now let's hop into the show. Akos, welcome to the show. Welcome to Hustle Over Everything. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really tired. I'm not gonna lie, because there's so much going on right now, and I'm sure we're gonna get into it later on. But I'm excited to be on the show, and it's such an honor and a pleasure that you guys invited me. So yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, awesome. we're very happy to have you. And just to introduce myself, Akos, my name is Owen. Alex and I are partners. As my right-hand man, I'm his right-hand man in the biz. So we're just a 2-1-1-2 punch working together. And we're looking to get as much information, all the stories that go into your business, your hustle, and how you got to where you are today. So we're really excited to, do a deep dive into your business.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure meeting you, Owen.
Yeah, likewise.
My bad for dropping the ball in the introduction. I'll take responsibility. So let's start off with the icebreaker. All right. So you're looking for a new employee, and after months of searching, you find a good candidate. After 3 rounds of interviews and checking their social media profiles, you think, all right, they check off all the boxes, they're ready, right? So you send the person the offer, they accept, you send the contract over, they sign. Then you, for some reason, something tells you, yo, check the social media one more time. You check the social media and you see all types of non-COVID friendly behavior. No. She's at the beach, gallivanting, no mask, thinking like it's Florida. What do you do?
Oh, Interesting. I don't know. I'm tempted to say I just let, you know, evolution take its toll, or run its course.
Wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, just wait 14 days. He probably won't be available for the job all of a sudden. I don't know what I would do. I don't know. I don't know. That's not a deal breaker for me. I don't know why. I don't know.
You don't see COVID as like that big of a deal breaker for you?
No, it's not even that COVID is not that big of a deal breaker for me, but I guess it would depend. Like if they were, at a party, like I heard about these dumb people who were at a rave in New York, So if it was something like that, then I'd be like, that's a reflection of your character because this is not a necessary event. But if it was like a wedding, then maybe I'd be like, okay, well, I feel like a wedding is a reasonable event. And the beach, I don't know. I've been to the beach, I went to the beach like a month ago, and a couple weeks ago I was with my kids, I stayed my distance from other people, but I was at the beach. So I think it depends. It depends on the situation, but it wouldn't be an immediate, not this guy. I would really assess.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just at the beach.
I know that was a lukewarm answer.
I feel you.
I think Alex was looking for the juice.
I'm assuming, but I mean, I'm a pretty rational person.
Okay, I feel you. Man, I was at the beach and people are going crazy out there. Well, not any beach, specifically on Center Island. By the way, are you still in Toronto?
No, I'm in the Ottawa Valley.
Where is that?
So it's a super small town. Nobody's going to know the name. Deep River, Ontario. It's between North Bay and Ottawa. So this entire area is called Ottawa Valley.
Oh, you're in North Bay?
No. So I'm in between, literally, right between North Bay and Ottawa.
Oh,
got you.
Two main towns, like hour and a half away and an hour and a half away.
Got you. So, Owen, what would you do?
If I was in a coast situation, my thing with COVID is I'm kind of like if all the people I've seen who've gotten COVID have recovered, they've not gotten sick or have died, I'd be like, hey, listen, that's very irresponsible of you. And you are going to get other employees infected. So just please stay home for 14, 15 days in quarantine and get better. But it'll kind of be like a red flag for me because it just kind of shows like they're kind of reckless with everything that they're doing. And they're not really being considerate of other people. So when I look at that person, not to be too judgy or anything, it's going to be like in the back of my head, like, wow, like this could also come into my business that I'm employing you to do, where you could just be thinking of yourself and not other people. So it'll be in the back of my mind, but it won't be like something like I really hold against them. It's just going to be like, I'm going to raise an eyebrows like, wow, like this is the type of values you hold. Like, you're not being considerate and et cetera. Then I'll just keep it moving, but it would be like a red flag. I'll look closer to see if perhaps they were peer pressured by other people. Maybe it was a special event for someone and they could not miss it. There's other factors as well too, right? But when they do start work, I'll start paying attention and seeing if they are really, really what optics seem to show that they are.
You only look at them through like the corner of your eye, like.
Yeah, like, you know. Like a CBS logo.
Just let him know when the lunchroom, like, I saw you at the beach, eyes on you.
I feel you. For me, I'm a bit triggered, I was telling Owen and the listeners last pod, a few times back, that I went to Center Island recently, and people there are going crazy. I went there and basically, there's divided between like a nude beach and not nude beach, a clothing optional beach and a clothing mandatory beach or a clothing, required beach. And people weren't respecting that. They were just going absolutely nuts. And there's probably like 5,000 people in the beach, like not giving a single care. So I'm triggered now. So now when I hear that and I see that, I'm like,
But I've actually been by that new beach on Center Island. And I just feel like, I don't know. Maybe if you're at a nude beach, maybe you don't care about a lot of other things either. So, you know, like COVID is maybe not on your, you know, top list of priorities.
That's a fact. Yeah, right. All right. So let's dive deep into our coast. So at what point did you decide you were going to be an entrepreneur?
It's interesting because in high school, we had a couple business courses and I took them all because I was actually looking for, you know, the easy way out, you know. It was either that or like physics or chemistry. Wasn't going to do those things. I took business kind of as a cop out, but it turned out to be, you know, something that meant something to me. I remember the business teacher, Ms. DeLerba, she used to she used to put on Dragon's Den and Shark Tank a couple times, not all the classes, but a couple times, or maybe the last 15 minutes. And I enjoyed them so much, and it just, something just clicked, you know, something just triggered in me. And I remember we had this assignment, I think it was in my international business class, to create any product and an associated service. And I remember I created this elaborate spa. It was called Eden. Had a, you know, like a slogan, get back to your origin. It was going to be like a three-tier salon. The first floor is going to be this. Second floor is going to be that. There's going to be a hotel. You can stay there for a year. If you want, we'll pamper you. And I actually got like this old perfume bottle, printed a label and put it on and presented it. Everyone was so irritated with me because I went so over and above for such a basic project. But I just got so invested into it. And that is kind of what fueled this. So when I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do in university, what courses I wanted to take or what program I wanted to major in. And the guidance counselor, Mr. Bose, he sat me down and was like, you took a lot of business courses. Why don't you apply for business school? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. And he's like, there's this really, really good business school, Schulich School of Business. Why don't you just, you know, give it a try? You know, on average, you have to have very good grades to get into this school. And I, you know, worked extremely hard and I got in, and it was crazy. And I remember, you know, going in my entrance essay saying, you know, I want to start my own business. And as I went through those 4 years, I started to kind of, maybe I should just go the corporate route. Maybe I should just do what, you know, is expected, you know, is what's sure, what's not easy, but what's, you know, the straighter path. It's a clearer path. And of course, you know, coming from an African background where there's a lot of risk averse attitude. My mom, you know, tried to encourage me to go on that clear path. So I thought, you know, maybe starting a business was only for old people who, you know, are retired, they have their money and, you know, they want to put it somewhere. So they start a business. Once I got out of university, my now husband, who was in the military at the time, was posted out of Ontario to Alberta. And it was a very small town and I could not find a job. It was really unfortunate, like literally like I was driving a school bus because I couldn't find anything else. And this is someone with, you know, a university degree. So I thought, well, why don't I try and figure out something that I could take with me no matter where we're posted, because that's just the nature of his job. Why don't I try and create my own thing? That is originally what I went into business school for, you know. And so I was almost kind of forced into a situation that I wanted to be in the first place. And so that's why I started, you know, the entrepreneurial journey.
What did you major in at Schulich?
So Schulich, there's only one thing you can major in, and that's business, just general business. You can specialize in certain courses, so like operations, marketing, you know, accounting, but that won't be on your degree. It's just going to be a business admin degree, and then you can put on your resume that you specialize in accounting or marketing. But after everything, I think I ended up specializing in international business. and I believe operations. So that was what I took out of that. But in all honesty, I'll be honest with you, you know, a lot of the courses at SHU, like it really does prepare you for corporate. You know, that's essentially what they're you know, getting you ready for. So in terms of how super useful it was when I got, you know, when I started my own business, of course, the accounting ended up being extremely useful. But for the most part, there was a lot that I couldn't translate because e-commerce, you know, 2017, so much had changed in terms of digital advertising, for example, that the marketing I learned just 2 years prior was totally irrelevant. So there was a lot of relearning, but I did ultimately, you know, major, I guess, in international business.
Interesting. Interesting. You're 100% right. You know, it's borderline impossible for schools to catch up with modern day methods of marketing. You know, like the way the internet's working, like I'm in it and I still got to catch up, you know?
Yeah, literally.
Exactly. So for a school to catch up, to create a whole curriculum and have the curriculum approved by the multiple levels that they need to go through in order to be approved.
Get a textbook written, like it would take forever.
Exactly. Yeah. Have that printed out. So it's borderline impossible. So for business students, any of you guys are listening, you guys got to get out there, you know, start interning, start applying, start trying shit out, and networking, because it's way more important to have a strong network and strong applicable skills versus just being book smart and getting a good A. Trust me.
And it's interesting that you said that, because it ended up being the Shulet community that aided me so much on this journey. The connections, the network, they have a really strong startup community in conjunction with York. The amount of support that I've received from that community, being an alumni, I actually wish I had known about it when I was in school, because then maybe I would have taken advantage of it. But it wasn't until now that I realized that, whoa, they actually have this community there. But so it wasn't totally useless. And the only way I would have figured out was by networking. So 100%, if one thing that you should look at university for, it's 100% who can I meet through those 4 years? Because it's really going to make an impact. It's going to matter more than what you learn in there.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of grades, one thing I quickly want to touch on. It's interesting hearing your perspective of, you know, getting a guidance counselor to say, hey, you should go to this school, you know, because I didn't get none of that. They're just like, yeah, you got to figure it out, fam.
Really?
They're just like, hey, what you going to do? You know, but luckily, look at that. We both still here at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it was just, like, I was asked, okay, so what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know, maybe I'll just go to CUC, which is Canadian University College. And it's just like it's the follow-up university for our school. It's just where everyone goes. And I was just going to go there just because everyone was going there. And I think it was just so pitiful, like, for him to hear me say that I'm literally just going to follow everyone else. Like, it was like, come on, Coast, like, you can do better. And I think he just wanted to present me with an alternative option in case I didn't know if there was one.
Were you going to say one? You were going to say something earlier.
No. I was just going to say, like, what she touched upon, it was, like, the networking. And that's why, like, I think Ryerson, it's, like, one of those schools that encourages networking. I think they focus on more of community building than just actually, like, the textbooks and all that stuff. Like, if you see other minor, like, they have a plethora of clubs that you could do in Ted Rogers. So and that's how we met too, right? It's just like doing all these different things, like talking business, entrepreneurship classes. And yeah, I think in school, I can boldly say this. I think you're paying just to go make friends who are going to shape your future. But everything that's being taught there, you can look up Google. Like, you can learn accounting on Google. You can learn marketing on whatever. You can learn case studies if you know where to look.
Most definitely. Some of them are like Shopify. Shopify School has a lot. There's a high chance that you're probably going to be building a business on Shopify because they're dominating the e-commerce game. So look, go look at that. You're probably going to use Facebook. So go look at Facebook's courses. You're probably going to use Twitter. They have courses as well. You're probably going to use Google. They have courses as well. If you use those four courses, you can learn enough to market a business. So whatever you have, you can bring that to an audience. And those four platforms alone are the predominant amount of the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So with that knowledge, you can target the sector of the internet that you can niche out whichever audience you want to do whatever you want. So
I think probably one of the biggest things is, like, you know, university helps you to develop certain soft skills. For me, it instilled a certain amount of discipline. Because there's some things that some people actually just don't have discipline. It's just something in a lot of people. It needs to be taught or, you know, drilled in them. And a lot of people learn that through different ways. But for me, the whole process of school was how to hone in and focus on one thing, complete that, then move on to the next task, and be disciplined throughout that process and keep going even when you're stuck on one thing. So if that's one thing you can take from the education system, let it be that. Let it be the soft skills that you develop around the education, because you can apply those to anything.
Got you. So now let's dive into the business, because we got to give the people the business value, you know?
Exactly.
So, you know, getting back into the Coast story, you know, you're abroad, not abroad, but you're outside of your regular home. And you're like, I got to find a way to make money for myself online, right? Mm-hmm. How do you figure out where you want to go from there?
Yeah, so I knew that I wanted something that I could take with me, because, like I said, my husband was in the military. Just part of his job, we move around a lot. So I knew for sure I wanted something that was mobile. Or if not mobile, I could make it flexible and work for me. Secondly, I wanted something, I didn't just want to sell, you know, like phone cases. I wanted something that meant something to me. Something that I could actually have some kind of personal tie to. It just makes it easier, you know, to pull through the challenging times. So one of the things that I remembered, and it's really interesting, because not a lot of people knew this. When I was in high school, and actually it's something that a lot of women struggle with now that I know, because I'm in the industry, but I started to lose my hair. I was going bald. It was crazy. My hair started thinning, and then it was just baby bottom bald.
That's what happened.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, shit. To give you this context, give you more context. Sorry to cut you off, of course. I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah.
I remember that you coming into school, sorry, excuse me, and being bald next time. I'm like, huh, that's different.
Like, so this bald, is the story bald, behind like, it. Like skin bald?
Not bald, like low hair.
Oh, okay.
Like what she has
now. So I actually didn't cut my hair until later, though, because it was something that, first of all, I was extremely insecure about. And for the meantime, I could cover it with, you know, depending on how I styled my weave or my braids, I could cover it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I would put like a band around here. You know, I put my hair up in a ponytail and just put a band. So it was not noticeable. But it did get to a certain point when I got to my first year of university. I was doing a little bit of modeling, and I went to this audition, and they wanted to see if they could style my hair the same, because they wanted all the models to look the same. They pulled up my hair and they saw what was going on. And I remember there was an African-American woman who was a part of the company that I was with, the modeling agency. And she told me, she's like, honestly, if I were you, I would just cut it all off and just start all over. Because there's nothing you can do with, you know, a bald patch here, a bald patch there. You have hair here. You can't live like this. So literally the next day, I cut all my hair off. I was bald. And I remember going to school, like, this was a Monday night. It wasn't like a Saturday or Friday. It was a Monday night. I went into school. I went back to work, and everyone was like, whoa. A lot of people, you could tell, they were just like, oh, my gosh, like, she looks horrible. And a lot of people were like, yo, I love it. You look amazing. And I had to go bald a couple times to get regrowth back. But regardless, when I was looking through that, you know, kind of trying to, you know, reach inside and see what's meaningful to me, I remembered my experience. You know, by then my hair had grown back, but I was in these remote towns and I was back in this issue where I found these wigs online that just were not, they were very low quality. They didn't last long. They didn't suit me. They didn't complement my, you know, my jawline, my facial features. And so I said, well, why don't I try and improve this process? Because I experienced this so intimately before. And I'm experiencing it again now that my hair has grown back, but now I'm in a remote town. So it's a different problem, but a similar underlying cause. So why don't I try and get to the bottom of this and resolve this issue? Because I'm sure I'm not the only one. So that's why I specifically chose this industry.
One thing I want to know is, you know, I've seen this with my family members as well, you know, my aunties and everything. They do go bald, right? And what I want to know, is this like a Black woman thing, or does this happen to all women? And, you know, what causes baldness in women?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, because I'm African American, you know, I've been more involved in that community just growing up, you know, just obviously. Yeah. I actually thought even only black women must wear wigs. But when I got into this industry, and it was actually really interesting because I didn't do market research prior. You know, they tell you to, you know, research the market and this, and I didn't have money or time to do that. I needed to fund this business as I went. So I had to fund my market research. So as soon as I got in and started selling, I realized that actually most of my customers are Caucasian. And a lot of them are telling me the same story, that they're losing their hair, they're going through chemo or whatever the case may be, and they're also losing their hair. So one of the things that I realized is that, and one of the things that I did find out is actually about 33% of all women will suffer from some form of hair loss in their lifetimes. With women, I guess it's less acceptable, so it's better hidden from the open, whereas with men, it's almost standard for men to lose their hair, so they're not so embarrassed about it, I guess. So you see it more, you know, more frequently. But it's usually caused with both men and women. Sometimes it's hereditary. So in hereditary cases, you'll usually just see general thinning. So complete head thinning. Sometimes it'll be so bad you can see their scalp. Even though the hair is not gone or bald, you can see how thin it's, like strand, just barely there. There are other cases where it's medical or medical related, I should say. So either they're losing their hair because they have cancer and they're going through chemotherapy. Or there are some forms of, there's actually a lot of diseases that cause women to lose their hair. And then lastly, unknown causes. Literally women, our bodies are so complex. There's so many hormonal imbalances that if your diet is off, combined with stress, combined with environmental carcinogens, combined with just this specific trigger that you might not even realize, you just start losing your hair. And in my particular case, it was a combination of a few things. It was stress induced. So it was just something that I found myself playing with a lot when I was stressed out, my hair just kind of pulling at it. Plus a lot of chemicals, perms and weaves and braids, a lot of that stresses the scalp and it just, you start to lose your hair. But no, it doesn't just happen to Black women. It happens to women of all races and there are various causes. It's very individual.
Got you. All right. So now you're locked in on the product and what you want to do. You want to do high quality wigs, right? Tell us about like actually getting inventory or mapping out that whole process.
Yeah. So actually, because like I said, I hadn't done any market research. All I had was my problems. Like I know what my problems are. I didn't know if anybody actually had those problems. So yeah. I had an idea of what improvements I wanted to make to a wig. But what I did was I actually just bought a basic wig. I found a few suppliers from Alibaba and just bought whatever they had. Didn't ask them to make any improvements at all. And what I was doing at the time was I would sell custom pieces. So when someone would order, they would show me a picture maybe from Instagram or Google, literally wherever. And I would take this wig to a salon that I had partnered with to get it colored. So we would do, really complex stuff. A lot of, you know, really high level coloring jobs. And then I would see what their feedback would be. If they were just satisfied with the color, they didn't care about the fit. They didn't care about the construction. They didn't care about shedding. They didn't care about, whatever. If they really were just happy with a good coloring job and that was it. But I found that they were having these same issues that I was having as well. So as I did that for like a month or two, then I started to hone in on what improvements I need to make. So I was fortunate enough to have contracted a workshop in Asia. So there's quite a few of them. So I just generally say Asia, but essentially what it is it's a small little workshop that I contract so that they can make my wigs. It's almost like what you'd call co-packing or co-packaging, where someone already has a facility where they're doing one thing and you say, hey, can you make my product this specific way using your facility, your existing facility? And they'll agree and take a cut of the costs or the cut of the profits. That's one way that a lot of people manufacture specific things here in North America. So that's essentially what I was doing with the wigs. So there was an existing facility and I contacted them and said, hey, I have these very, very specific things that I want done to my wigs and made a specific way. Using your facility, your existing equipment, existing labor, can you, make my wig for me this specific way? And then I'll pay a portion of the labor, a portion of the rent, a portion of the, you know, materials, et cetera. And that will be my cost of goods. And they agreed. And I've been working with this workshop, for over 3 years now. We've built a really, really good relationship. So that was really a fluke. I'm not going to lie. It was luck. Because I had tried so many different manufacturers, suppliers. I tried it the way that a lot of people do it right now in hair stores, where they just find one manufacturer who makes wigs anyway and then sell it under their brand. It's the same wig that everyone's selling, just under their specific brand. I tried doing it that way. And again, I ran into these problems where I'm not able to actually make a product that is solving customer pain points with just selling these generic wigs under my brand. So that's why I had to do it this way. And I was really fortunate to find someone, because I had gone through a lot of people who just didn't do a good job of making wigs from scratch. You know, they did a great job of selling their already made wigs, you know, under different brand names, but not what I was requesting. So I was very fortunate, very, very fortunate, I'll have to admit. And since then, I've been working with this manufacturer or workshop to make each, like I call them iterations. So I'll make an iteration. And let's say that I have this idea. I want the wigs to last 2 years. I want them to fit, like, you know, be custom fit. I want them to have this. I want them to have that. I'll put that out there, sell it, see what customers say, what their feedback is. Maybe this specific feature nobody actually cares about. Maybe this specific feature everybody loves. And then I kept on doing that until I came to this final iteration of a wig construction that I have now that I'm currently selling.
And what are those iterations that make your wig different than other wigs out there? Like, what are like the commonalities that, you know, every wig might be different for each customer, but like, what's a consistent thing in each wig that makes them different?
Yeah. So of course I can't get into the minute technicalities because, you know, that's my IP.
Yeah,
but what
sure.
I can talk about is the features. So our wigs are all custom fit. I think that's the biggest one. Second to the lace that we use. We use this very fine, very thin lace that is it's near exact. It is what they use in movies and film productions. So literally think about like Khaleesi from Game of Thrones, like that caliber of quality lace that just melts into the skin. So when you combine the lace with the custom fit, you get a piece that with very little effort on your part looks amazing. It looks extremely natural. And then there are some very detailed things, very minor things. I won't lie, they're minor tweaks to the way the wig is made that just makes it lie flat. That makes it, the thickness starts at a different way, or the hairline is done a specific way that, again, I cannot get into because it is the IP, but it all contributes to that extremely natural, easy to wear piece that's functional as well and lasts years, guys. We have a customer who ordered a wig from us the first few months we were in business. She still has her wig today. And I was shocked, and that's 3 years, and our wigs are supposed to only last 2 years. So it just says something about the quality of the construction.
Got you. So one thing that you mentioned is that it's custom, right? So how do you manage to like make a custom product online?
Yeah, so we have two types of products you can order. We have our pre-designed wig. So that's what you'll see on our site, our e-commerce site listed. If you order, or you can submit a picture and we'll go back and forth. It's a lot of manual labor trying to create a custom style for you. Either way, once you order, we send out an email with detailed instructions. It's like a type form survey that includes pictures. Later on, we want to actually do videos of each step so that customers can measure on their own and give us the measurements. And because we have kind of like outliers of what is an odd measurement, like if someone has like a circumference of like 30 centimeters and their nape, the nape of their neck, so just a little back strip of their neck is like 30 centimeters also, obviously that is a match. That shouldn't be the same length as your whole entire head. So then we'll go back to them and be like, hey, can you redo this measurement? And usually it does end up being a different number. So it's not the most efficient way. We do have something in stone, set in stone now, of ways to improve, again, that manual order process of taking a custom order and that manual measurement process that I guess we're going to get into a little bit later. But we do have a plan to make those more efficient and streamline them.
Got you. All right. So now you got your product. Tell us how like you develop the business now. Like, do you just start advertising on Facebook? How do you start getting customers through the door?
You know, it's so funny because 2017 was such a different world. It's crazy. This was back then where you could give an influencer a product and just one post would get you like 5,000 new followers, $5,000 in sales. It was easy in 2017. But then Instagram changed their algorithm. So literally that's all we did, just send products to influencers. That's it. It was heavily based on Instagram. That was our focus, Instagram. And at the time I was only selling on Etsy's marketplace because all of our wigs are handmade. And it was very easy on Etsy as well because literally I would spend $2 a day in ads, $2. And I'd get like, you know, maybe $10,000 a month. So $2 times 30 days, $60, and I'm getting $10,000 in sales. It was significant how well things were on Etsy back then. Back then, things are not like that anymore. Back then. So it was easy in 2017, somewhat, for someone who did not know what they were doing. And it wasn't until 2018 when Instagram changed their algorithm to favor, they essentially wanted businesses to pay for advertising. They didn't want you to just get ads from an influencer because then they don't make any money from that interaction. So they heavily focused their ads to kind of put business accounts and business posts, on a lower priority so that, you know, even your followers, your existing followers may not ever see your posts unless somehow they engage with an ad, then they'll start seeing your posts. And then we had to leave Etsy's platform because of some complex issue. And so we started to solely focus on our e-commerce site, which at the time we had already developed, but we weren't focusing on it because Etsy was doing so well. So when we were thrown into our own, before when you're advertising on Etsy, you're only competing with other Etsy merchants. But now you're on your own website, you're essentially competing with the whole world, right? So it was, it was rough. It was hard. No matter what I did with advertising, even if I did the same thing with influencers, it just was not working. We might get maybe 10 followers from an influencer post, whereas before, like I said, we were getting thousands. I could spend almost $1,000 on ads and literally get $0 in sales. So it became where before I was just selling product and not really focusing on anything else because I was doing so well. But later I had to pivot and really hone in on the brand because that's what people would commit to, not just a product. So before I was kind of like crutching over Etsy's brand and Instagram's brand and just kind of making their brand work for me. And now I had to build my own brand and stand on my own two feet. And that took time, took a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of Googling, a lot of researching, a lot of literally like not chasing, but a lot of effort for even just one customer. Lots of posting on Instagram, engaging. And mind you, I'm doing this essentially on my own. So the work quadrupled when I got onto my own e-commerce platform. But I guess looking back, I'd say the biggest thing was literally just time. It was just time and consistency. Because for example, when you're on your own website, the best way to get sales is organic, through organic search or organic social media. And you're not gonna rank on Google on your first day. It literally takes time. Google's rank improves for a domain based literally on the age of the domain. Even if you get backlinks coming to your website, they look at the age of those backlinks. So Google really plays on a matter of time. And so if you can be consistent for a period of time, you'll start to see those results. So it was extremely slow, but a year like that finally did pay off in terms of organic sales and slowly getting a hang of Instagram's new algorithm. And then of course, Google constantly changes their algorithms. So staying on top of that.
So you talk about brand building, which is extremely important in e-commerce today to stand out amongst other competitors. A wig is like a very, it's hard to say like that wig is from so-and-so brand. So
yeah.
What are some things that you did to really define your brand look? Your image to really stand out against other competitors in the wig space?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you say that because that was the dilemma that I had. I mean, and it's the same thing with makeup, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing foundation. You don't know that. And you have no idea which brand I'm wearing, you know.
Yeah.
So they have that same dilemma. Actually, a lot of the beauty industry in general, there's no tag that goes along with your mascara, you know. So one of the biggest things that I found was really the branding was dependent on me. So when people go onto my site, what do they see? How do they feel? Because that's what beauty is. People wear makeup, people wear eyelashes because they want to feel good and they associate a brand with a specific feeling. So I had to work on that emotional tie to my brand. How do people feel when they go onto my site? How do they feel when they wear my wig? How do they feel when they take a picture and post on social media? If they get some gratification from that, or they feel like they're getting buying an extremely good quality product that's going to last them years, that feeling resonates. It stays with them. That's the feeling they share. And that's what goes into our reviews. It's a lot of emotion when you're dealing with beauty. So it was extremely important that I understood even colors on my website. I did a lot of research into the color of my logo, the font, where things should be positioned. I've changed my website design quite a few times, but where our website is right now, it gives every emotion that I want my product and brand to be associated with. Even the unboxing, when a customer gets our box, they open up that box, they see this silk bag with gold tassels, they open that up, they see this wig, even the hairspray that we use that smells like it just came out of a salon. These are all the associations that evoke a specific emotion. And that's the play that you use when it comes to beauty.
Big gems.
Big gems. I was going to say as well, like your brand, what you're saying about your brand, it's, I read this one quote that says your brand is what your customers say about it, not what you say about it. Like, I think you did the work to put them in the position to feel like that. And what they communicate, that defines your brand too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So like, how do you keep them coming back now? Do you have an email sequence that you have for your customers? Tell us about, now that you've started to win them back through great branding, how do you keep business going?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend like I've been doing a lot. I there's a lot of room for improvement in terms of my effort, in terms of getting customers to come back, but they have been coming back. And that's just the product speaks for itself. Work that I'm not doing. So of course I continually post on social media. We do run remarketing ads, but that's not where our return customers come from. And we do have not necessarily an email sequence, but we do have it set up so that they send an email to a customer, you know, every 2 months. But our product isn't like most. It's not like, an outfit. Well, actually, it could be. I shouldn't say that, but it's almost like you buy one of the trends that I notice is a customer will buy a wig. They see, okay, whoa, this company is actually what they say they are. They'll buy a wig immediately after, and then they wait. It might be a year or two, and they buy another wig. There's no pressure. That's just because their wig is lasting that long, which is a positive thing. Mm-hmm. So right now we have about a 30% return customer rate. And just to give you an average for the beauty industry is 20%. So although we don't have massive volumes, customers are coming back. And I attribute that 100% to just a good product. Like the product speaks for itself. One of the things that I'm finding a challenge is because I am a sole founder and I am a sole operator of this business. It's a little bit challenging to hit all the points when you're alone, because there is a lot of work involved when you get into acquisition and then operations management, and then marketing. You know, it's not that managing past customers falls on the bottom of the list, but when what you're not doing is working, it's not such a priority of something to improve because it's already doing so well. So I would say the biggest thing is focusing on the product, making sure that that is a good product. It is a great product. Our customers might go to another wig company. They might think, maybe I will get something cheaper this time. They come back because it's like, okay, it was cheaper, but it lasted 2 months, you know? So that's one thing that I would say has been working for us, but definitely there's so much more room for improvement. And that's something that I want to work on in the future.
Got you. What's a typical day for you like?
Typical day? So I think probably I spend most of my time right now. Actually, the last 3 months have been so busy. I wake up and I'm a part of an accelerator right now, Launch YU. We have these three hour sessions. They're not every day, but you know, they are at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. But that's only going to be for a short period of time. So I usually will attend something like that. Some Zoom call or some meeting with somebody for something. And then I have our development group that's working on our application. And so I meet with them weekly to discuss progress. Biggest thing right now that I've been doing the last couple months was expanding one of our product lines. So we had a photo shoot that I had to organize. And biggest thing that I've been working on right now is quite a few grant applications. We're looking on raising our seed round. So figuring out our pitch decks, practicing. And actually, I'm going to be pitching on Dragon's Den. So getting ready for that as well. So there's been a lot of, really, really big things that have been happening the last couple months. And on the operations side, fortunately, I've put all the apps and measures in place so that everything kind of runs itself. So that allows me to kind of focus on other things because, again, I am a sole operator of the business.
Got you.
That's big. That Go ahead. I was gonna say that's big that you've done all these things by yourself up to now. And are you like in the process of getting a team member on your team to help you out with things as you expand?
Yeah. So actually I did go through the process of finding a co-founder at the beginning of the year, found someone, they seemed amazing. A month in, I was like, I made a mistake. This is not gonna work, and I have to get out of that. It was a complex process, and it was painful for everyone involved. But now I am vetting somebody right now who I'm really sure about. But you know, when you come from, you know, such a painful breakup, you know, you're a little bit hesitant to get into another.
Jaded a little bit.
Yeah.
So sure. I am taking it slow this time. Luckily through, you know, the accelerator, the guys through my accelerator, I have a couple mentors, and then Schulich, I'm actually hiring a couple of interns, to work on some of these things just to kind of take the load off of my plate so that I can focus on more strategic things like getting investment and all that stuff.
Got you. You're working on your business, not in your business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I had a great question that just slipped my mind. So one thing that is like a big accolade of yours was winning the Audience Choice Award and the Bearskin and Par Innovation Award. Can you tell us about like how that came about?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things that evolved from this, in my first year, as I was working in this business, interacting with customers, engaging with them, honing on my product, the final iteration of my product, I realized that, you know, I could get only so far with just the product. Wigs alone, even the best wig, wouldn't actually solve all of my customers' pain points. They wouldn't even solve the pain points that I had. So I needed to look past that. I need to look bigger, and I actually need to step back and look at the industry as a whole. So that's when I started actually developing our application. So it's an AI-powered application that micro-analyzes customer images, videos, data, social media, and then our internal data to create highly personalized wigs that would suit the customer's skin tone, facial features, personality, and even career. The customer could virtually try on that wig and then purchase their favorite ones. The application would virtually take their measurements, and then they would receive that totally bespoke product, all from the privacy, comfort, and discretion of their own homes. So that was the application, or that application was what got us to Schulich Startups, the pitch night. So we were one of the top three alumni companies that they chose. And the People's Choice Award, that was the award that the audience, I think there was like 700 people on that Zoom call, they voted in. So all six of us, there was six of us there, alumni and current students. And they chose my company as the audience voted for my company. So it was like live results all there. And that was extremely exciting. The Bearskin and Par Innovation Award, that was chosen by Bearskin and Par. And they chose us based on the innovation of our product, our application. So
amazing. Congrats on that.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's huge.
So good luck.
And your idea for the AI, that's powerful. I mean, that is so forward thinking. It's such a big problem. And I love the way you said their career, because hair, especially black women, and this is even like when we had Vivian K on, was like a thing that she mentioned about having your natural hair is looked down upon, especially as a black woman, right? And what made you include career out of everything? Because I can see why you'd say, hey, skin tone, facial structure, head, everything.
Yeah. So
that's like a shoo-in, but you added career, which really caught my attention. What was the process behind adding career in there?
Yeah, so one of the things that I noticed is in developing the machine learning processes, I realized that we actually have to set boundaries for, you know, there's so many hairstyles, there's so many varieties of styles out there, but we had to set a boundary. So what's appropriate for what situation? And it's interesting that you mentioned that black hair issue, because one of the things that we want to do is, you know, choose the best textures for your race. So we don't want just silky hair for everyone, even if it's not applicable. We want the, you know, the 3C curls. We want the 2C curls, depending on your race, your ethnicity, because that's what is naturally your hair texture. Keeping that in mind, there's an appropriate time and place for specific hairstyles. So, for example, I had dreads once.
You did?
And I'd shaved the sides all around, and it was just here that was dreaded, and it looked good, I'm not gonna lie, but I could not wear that to work. It just was not appropriate for work. There's nothing wrong with dreads, but the way that I had it cut, the way that I had it styled, was not appropriate for work. So one of the things that our application is going to do is actually help customers style those pieces, those custom pieces that are made for them. It'll then go through the best ways to style it to complement their face. So again, we just need to put an outlier. So if you're going to go with a pink punk mohawk, you know, and you have a blue collar job, that might not fit. But if, you know, maybe you have something that's a little bit more fluid in terms of your career, then that would be totally acceptable. But even so, let's say you did have a pink wig. There's a way to wear that pink wig so that it's still professional for that, you know, investor meeting, but still relax for when you're going out with your friends. So our application will combine style with appropriate colors and cuts to make sure that we have a piece for you that fits all the different versions of you, you know, your work version, your going out version, your weekend version, your night out version.
Got you. So tell us about like developing the app. Like, where do you find, are you coding it yourself? How are you finding the talent? What stage are you in with the app? I would love to know more.
Yeah, so we are in phase one. So there's three phases. Right now we're developing the AI, the artificial intelligence, or the machine learning, or, I mean, there's so many different names to call it once you get super technical. And we're working with, being a revenue generating, it makes it a little bit easier for us to fund these things. But when it gets to things like AI development and even just technology, you know, there's a lot of capital that's required. So that's just not capital that we have, even from our cash flow. We need to put those things into, you know, inventory and a lot of other things. So I've actually been working with grants. I've been really fortunate connecting with the York University community and network, and Schulich, who connected me with a couple grant applications. So right now I'm working on a grant, or I guess I'm using a grant that I was awarded to pay two graduate interns. And I have two professors leading the graduate interns to develop the AI. So they're extremely proficient. They're an extremely proficient team. They have such deep knowledge and understanding of the technology that's required to produce this. And I'm extremely confident that they're going to be able to execute. But we used grants, and we will likely continue to use grants. Once we get investment, which is what I'm working on right now, I do plan on bringing on someone internally to lead. But still having working with postgraduate students, because as a millennial myself, I really want to support fellow millennials or other people who are up and coming early in their career. I'd love to be able to build a company that is built on, you know, people who just, you know, stepped out of school into their industry. So that's my hope for the future, and that's how I've done it so far.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh man, that's a big journey you're on, you know. So yeah. All the best with that. And whatever you need from our community, just let us know, you know, and we're happy to help. You know,
I think
probably the biggest thing right now, the biggest thing is the capital constraints. You know, I'm sure you can imagine with everything that's going on. you can't scale alone. It's impossible. So I need to add team members. So if there's anybody who's out there who's interested at all in coming on in a marketing capacity, even if you're on the hair side or on the tech side, specifically AI, I would love to sit down and chat with you. And if you're out there listening, you know someone who would be interested in investing, we're raising our seed round right now. I would love to sit down and talk to you a little bit more about the technology and the business, our numbers and all that. And we, you know, get on this journey and scale together.
Amazing. Make sure you holler at her. Where can people find you?
I'm everywhere. I'm literally everywhere. But probably LinkedIn would probably be the easiest. I'm Akosua Asare on LinkedIn. So Akosua is my first name. Asare is my last name. Our application is called Muse. So that's what you'll see on my profile. So you'll know it's me.
I love how your children in the back are having fun.
I was gonna ask, but I didn't want to interrupt. I was like, but if they can't hear them, then I don't have to worry. But you can hear them.
No, it shows like the beauty. Like you're here grinding, talking about your business, the podcast. You're being a mom as well, talking about like everything you just said, and then you hear the kids in the background. It's like you're doing so much, but you're killing at the same time, which is beautiful to see.
Yeah,
you know, the biggest thing for me is I want people who are in my situation to know that like the odds can be so stacked against you. Like let them stack, like laugh at them, clap at them for trying, you know, but just keep going, just keep trying, because there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
absolutely.
What was the time where you felt like the chips were stacked against you?
Oh man, there was, this is like so personal. I haven't told anybody this. There was a time in this business where I literally got a call from collections.
Oh wow.
I got a call from a collections company that I owed like what? I think it was like $4,000 for this bill that I had totally forgotten to pay. It was a shipping bill. And they said, I need to have the money. It was a Thursday and it's going to go on my credit score by Monday, the end of the month. They have to report it. And I was panicking, crying. And I was like, why am I doing this? What's the point? Like at this point, I wasn't even paying myself. I was like ready to literally drop everything and just run away. Like not even like tell anyone, just cut, like go, because I was so afraid, having so much anxiety. I couldn't even sleep, you know, but I don't know, by some miracle of God, I was able to get enough sales just by selling wigs on Facebook, literally just putting wigs on Facebook up for sale so that I can get quick like cash to put into the account so that they can debit it like on Monday. In those 4 days, I was able to raise that much money, which was significant because there were some months back then when I was starting that I wouldn't even make that much money in a month, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, I didn't know if it was a sign for me to keep going or a sign for me to cut my losses and go, you know? But I kept on going and it shook me. It really put the fear of God in my heart. Mm-hmm. And luckily I've never been that low before, luckily, but I was there and it was painful. It was so painful.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's the hustle of everything life right there.
Yeah. I got to say one thing. I mean, I've learned over the years, like when the pressure's on you to really get something done, to really get a result, and it's somehow like your body and your mind rises to the occasion and you ask yourself when you do it, you're like, where was this when, why isn't this there every single day? And I had this similar experience too. When I used to work for Good Life, I was in sales and by the end of the month, I had to hit my quota and I was about 17 membership sales away, 3 or 4 personal training packages. And the month was ending on, I think it was a Tuesday. And it was a Thursday and I wasn't working the weekend. And I remember taking like all the flyers, like 3-day, 4-7-day trial flyers. And I was just like on Queen Street West, because this was the McCall gym beside OCAD University. Mm-hmm. And I was just handing them out. I was like, hey, like, give me your number. Come in. Let's make the appointment. Come in at 3:00. And that Friday, I think I sold about 13 memberships and 2-person training packages. And then the following Monday before the Tuesday, I even surpassed my goal. And I sat there on my desk, like, first of them, I was like, man, crazy how I completed the month in just 3 days.
Yeah.
Wow, I couldn't have just had that same energy. So it just shows that, you know, when there's pressure makes diamonds, like they say that, right? So when there's pressure on you, like
100%.
Yeah. When the lights is on, you gotta perform at the end of the day. And if you're not performing, hey, like, you're losing out here.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that's something that's interesting that you said, that diamonds thing, because I actually say that to a lot of people. Like, diamonds are made, they require pressure, or you're not getting diamonds, you know? And it just goes against this kind of philosophy that's going on right now, where you can, you know, just drop ship a product, and it'll be easy, and it'll be quick, and it'll be fast, and you'll be rich. And it just, that's not how it works. That's not the truth. If that's what you're in it for, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it.
Yeah, 100%.
Working towards wrapping up, is there anything we did not cover, Kos?
Pretty much, yeah. I guess you guys covered everything. I guess you guys covered everything. I mean, I should be asking you, is there anything that you didn't cover? Or is there anything you wanted to get into that you did not ask?
Nah, I think you got everything.
I feel very satisfied. I was like, I think that was a complete story from, I see Alex over here with his hand up.
Yeah, he just got that light bulb. He's got that light bulb moment. So in the last podcast with Vivian K, you know, she runs a similar business. Have you ever familiar with Vivian K by chance?
Have I heard from her?
Have heard off. Are you familiar with Vivian K?
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with her.
You should get familiar. Shout out to Vivi. She's dope. But she's in the big business as well. And one thing she mentioned was like the dominance of like the Korean, Asian people in the market, you know, and how she's experienced different experiences, to keep it short. What's been your experience like?
Probably one of the biggest things that, you know, is in my pitch for why this industry needs change is because you have people who don't wear wigs selling wigs. It's like the guy who started Victoria's Secret is a man. Mm-hmm. What do you know about women's bras and underwears, you know? And it's hard to relate to the customer when you're not the customer. And so you see Victoria's Secret, like, they're not doing well right now. So, you know, that image, that sex appeal image that, you know, they thought would be appealing as a man, would be appealing to a man, is no longer, you know, what's appealing to women. It's not what they want to see, and they haven't been able to adjust. So I feel like it worked at the beginning, maybe in the 90s, early 2000s. It was fine that, you know, Koreans and Asians were selling me wigs. People who didn't look like me were selling me wigs. It was fine. But now it's not acceptable. And there are so many holes and gaps in the industry that are being exposed because the people who have driven its growth aren't the customer. There's very little knowledge of the customer and understanding of the customer. Some of the things that they put out there, I'm even shocked that they think, you know, women are so foolish enough to purchase them, or they would think, you know, that they look good. It's like, if you just took a step back, you'd realize this product actually doesn't look good. And you just don't see that resonance, but it's actually what is why the industry needs change. And I think wigs are really overlooked. I found it challenging to explain to people why wigs are so important, but just that dominance of people who don't look like the customer in this particular industry is why it's so ripe for disruption. It's why I'm so excited about what we're doing, because it's not being done in any capacity, even close to it. So it's almost like, you know, Uber coming in and completely evolving the taxi industry, or Airbnb coming in and completely, you know, evolving the hotel industry, is how I feel that it's what I feel about what we're doing. So that's my experience with it. It's been eye-opening and exciting because I can't wait to get this live. I can't wait to get our application live because it'll just blow those guys out of the water. One other thing too is I noticed, you know, COVID really did put a dent in their empires. You know, they heavily rely on brick and mortar stores. And they're quick to go online. You know, they do have that quickness to move online, and they are already doing it. But there's just this difference when you go online, that focus on branding, where you can't just depend on being close to the customer because you're at the corner store wig shop. You know, it's more than just being close to the customer. It's about a brand. So you can't just steal a picture from Instagram or Pinterest and use that as your product picture. Nobody's going to buy the product. And people are getting onto that. So I think that they've had their run, and we're getting to the end of their prime time is coming to a close.
Most definitely, man, it's beautifully said. So let's end this with a toast. You know, I made you get a cup. Everyone have a cup.
Toast it up. Toast this to the mostest.
Mine's like pretty much done.
Mm-hmm. All right. So since we're talking about, you know, wigs, black woman in business, let's have a toast to black woman in business doing big shit. You know what I'm saying? Getting doing apps big, made, baby. Being in tech, closing deals, getting investments, getting seed funding, going on Dragon's Den and killing it. Cheers to a coast, cheers to a black woman, cheers to the four C's, the three C's, you know what I'm saying?
Cheers lastly, to
go ahead.
Cheers to black excellence, baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cheers, y'all.
Toast. Boom. It. That was some good green tea.
That was green water. Tea that you add like that? Oh, my God.
You got to do it for the theatrics, you know?
Yeah. Showmanship.
Exactly.
Comedy style. Shout out to Joe Budden Podcast. All right, y'all. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, the hustle is what you control. So control your grind and control your life. This is Hustle Over Everything Podcast. Peace.
Peace out.